Well, good morning. Very good to be here this morning, not?
No? Okay, yeah.
Just a reminder for those of you thinking about maybe becoming a member, want to know a bit more about us. Next week, after the service, we did say about 11:30, but then this last week we realized that's a bit late. So it might be a bit earlier, but just hang around. We'll call you in, have some tea and coffee and a burger and whatever, and we'll say, come, those who want to know more about Grace Hill,
you're welcome to come into the chapel.
If you've actually been here a while and said, I actually don't know much about you guys. I mean, you guys are really cute, but I don't know much more about that. You're welcome to come too. Or if you just want a reminder, you just come. You're welcome to hear a little bit about us.
And as Regan said, how are you doing with the Gospel of Luke?
Yeah, it's going well. We're halfway. 12th
is halfway through.
And remember, consistency is your friend. Hey, you find that if you miss once or twice, it's harder to get back. And so I just do it every day because it's much easier than trying to get back. It's like pulling an anchor behind you. So I just do it every day. It makes it much easier. But up until now, if you're reading we've read Matthew and Mark, and you read the first 12 chapters of Luke, you cannot help but notice the wisdom of Jesus. He's a wise guy. Is that the right word? Yeah. Remember, wise guy was always a mafia guy. Remember that. Jesus is not the mafia. Just remember that. But he's like wise, so wise. And funnily enough, in the first 12 chapters of Luke, there are 12 occurrences that speak about Jesus' wisdom. As a young boy, chapter 2 tells us he was filled with wisdom. And then later on it says he grew in wisdom. And the more and more I see what's happening in the world around us, I realize, we need God's wisdom. Because there's some supposedly wise people doing stupid things. And you must call a spade, eh? We've got to do that. There's some wise people doing stupid things. And that affects you and I. But God. So there is something you and I can do. We can act in wisdom.
And so my title for my message this morning is The Wisdom of Jesus is for Every Believer.
As wise as Jesus was, we can be as wise as Him. That's what it tells us in Scripture. And I'm sure, like me, you can look back, maybe even as much as this morning, you can look back and think, man, if I could go back, I would do that differently. I'd make a different decision. Oh, boy, I'd say that differently. That thing just came out that was wrong. And that's wisdom. Wisdom is applying knowledge in everyday life. What we do and what we say is wisdom. Our great need in the information age in which we live. We live in the information age. And what we need now is not more information. I don't know about you. Information just seems to fly at us from every single source. And I do believe that we've got far too much information. What we need is more wisdom. More wisdom with that information we're getting. Access to information has never been easier or cheaper or more confusing than it is today. You'll read one thing and 2 minutes later you read the exact opposite. Which one's true? I've become such a skeptic of news because I'm like, are they actually telling me the truth? And you know, it's horrible to live like that. I want to know the truth. What is the truth? God gives us truth. God gives us discernment of truth. And so wisdom today, I think, is at a special premium. There's a premium on wisdom in the world that we live in. So what is wisdom?
I looked it up. Wisdom is defined as the ability to make sound decisions based on knowledge, experience,
and good judgment. That sounds good. But biblical wisdom is different.
Biblical wisdom goes much further than that wisdom. Biblical wisdom makes sound decisions and choices that comes from a clear understanding of life from God's perspective.
How's that? Now that's what I want. I want wisdom based on God's perspective of my life and our lives.
A life lived for Christ by the power and guidance of the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's what I want.
I want to do stupid things. Hey, I can do some stupid things sometimes. Then afterwards you think, why did I even do that?
1, 2, 3, you block myself. You know, have you had those things? You do them often. Okay, maybe you don't, but I do. So, why don't you turn with me? James chapter 3. I know what you're thinking. Why not Luke? Because it's in James. It's not in Luke. James chapter 3. Luke was just my starting point for wisdom, but now I'm going to go into some other places. James. James chapter 3. I'm going to read from verses 13 to 18 from the New Living Translation. If you've got headings in your Bible, you might have something along the lines of true wisdom comes from God. How's that? True wisdom comes from God. Verse 13. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. James, right to the point. The book of James is like to the point. He's the guy that you want because he'll tell you that thing doesn't look nice on you. You know that? Guys, when your wife says, what does this look like? Don't answer. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder. How's that? Where there's selfish ambition, you'll find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above, now we're getting to it, come on. The wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace, loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Biblical wisdom is profoundly relational and God-centered. True wisdom. Because it's God who's given us everything we need to live as wise people. God's given us everything we need to live as wise people. And so this morning, I want to show you 6 things that God gives us so that we can live our lives with godly wisdom. You ready? Of course you are. Point number 1. God gives us His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Now, not every problem or question has a specific verse in the Bible. Just remember that now. You must remember. Must I buy full cream milk or low fat milk? That verse not in the Bible. Just be wise. Just do full cream. But, when you and I read and ponder on God's Word every day and pray, God begins to shape us. He begins to sow seed into our hearts. He's revealing His character to us. He builds our faith. He reveals the nature of His kingdom. And all that begins to develop godly wisdom. This leads me on to my second point this morning. God gives us His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But God doesn't just give us His Spirit. His Spirit comes to dwell with us. And I love that word from Scripture, dwell. It doesn't like the Holy Spirit comes to park off. That's the wrong word. Dwell has a richer meaning. Dwell means to come and inhabit. I know it's weird, eh? You're like, is the Holy Spirit like in me? Like another person? Or I don't know. I don't have the answers to that. I'll ask God when you get there. But the Spirit does come dwell with us. Dwell means make home with us. And that's an encouragement for you and I. Because that happens when we surrender our lives to Christ. You surrender your life to Christ, in that instant, Holy Spirit comes and dwells with you. Strengthen you, give you wisdom, build your faith. Apostle Paul says it in no uncertain terms. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Do you not know? He's talking to the Corinthians. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit?
And for those of us who are a little bit larger, we say, oh yes, lots of Holy Spirit in this temple.
Okay, that's why I don't believe in diet, because then I've got a small temple. I just have a big temple. I get distracted easily, eh? Anyway, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? The indwelling Holy Spirit means we have immediate access to godly wisdom.
You've got to just ask for it.
It means that when we are saturated in His Word every day, leaning in to hear from the Lord each day, the Holy Spirit is active in our lives. One of the greatest mysteries to me, well, there's quite a few mysteries. I don't know how the world spins and we don't fall off. But one of the greatest mysteries to me, spiritually speaking, is you and I can quench the Spirit of God. It's like, what? I can quench the Spirit of God who dwells in me. I can quench the Spirit. The same Spirit that created, it says, the Spirit of God hovered over the earth when God was creating. That same Spirit you and I can quench. It means we can hold back. We can quieten the voice of God in our lives. We can quieten the voice of God in our lives to such an extent that all the decisions we make and the choices we make, we think are God's. But they're not, they're ours. And that's when we make stupid mistakes. When we quench the Spirit, we're living in la-la land. I'll tell you why. Because we think our will is God's will. No, it's not. How often you got to say, the will of God is for me to do this, and you do it and you think, oh, Pip, that wasn't God speaking, was it? Come on, we've all done. Okay, maybe some of you. I've had times like that. I do something, it's God. And afterwards, that was me. That was me. Do you know what I have learned as I've got older? But I think it's because I'm getting older. I slow stuff down. I'm just like, Bradley, don't rush ahead of God. Don't lag behind God. Stay in step with God. That's the best thing to do. Stay in step with the Lord. Sometimes it means waiting. Waiting. I'm not good at waiting, but I've learned to be good at waiting. Wait for the Lord. Wait for God. God's Word and God's Spirit are joined together at the hips, so to speak. Ephesians 6 says this clearly. When talking about the armor of God, you know the armor of God, Ephesians 6? In verse 17 it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, the two joined at the hip. The Word and the Spirit are joined together. Read the Word every day. Pray every day. The Word and the Spirit are joined together. And by the way, I love this picture. I love it. The sword of the Spirit is not the pocket knife of the Spirit. Work with me here. Pocket knife is for cutting biltong. What else? Cut the string on the balloon. But when you and I are in the Word every day, pondering on it and asking the Lord to speak to us through His Word, that sword is huge. It's not a pocket knife. It's this massive big sword. I was going to bring my sword to the church this morning, but I thought, no, it's going to cut stuff. I've got this massive sword at home. I love it. Every now and again, I just have a little peek. And it's locked in the cupboard because I've got a boy next door. And he's young, and I know it's going to happen. One day, I'm going to see him chopping the trees and all that with a sword. So I keep it locked away, just for safety's sake. But every now and again, I'll go and have a squiz. The sword of the Spirit. Pocket knife. Can you imagine going into battle? Brad, I'm with you. I got my big sword. You come out. Little pocket knife. Bree, what are you going to do with that? A little cupcake story there. Go home. No, man. We want the sword of the Spirit. Listen, the sword of the... You know, in those days when you had a sword... In fact, if you pick my sword up, it's taller than me. It's big. It's big. And when you start swinging it, stuff breaks. You just start swinging. Stuff falls down, breaks, cracks, gets cut. A little pocket knife. What are you going to do with that? What is that thing? I don't know. That's the pocket knife of the Spirit. It doesn't sound right. Come on. When we're going to battle, you know what I want? I want a guy with me that's dragging the sword behind him because it's so big. I'm like, boy, come with me. We're going to chop some stuff. Come on. Don't you come with that little pocket knife. Get behind me, Satan. You know what I mean? No, man. The sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. Connected together. My third point. God gives us prayer. We have the Word. We have the Spirit. And from both of them, we get prayer. Prayer is a response to God's Word from in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's why the three are connected together. God is God. He speaks first. Hey, sometimes we can natter. Hey, so I'm get like that sometimes. I start nattering. Then I realize, why don't you listen first? Listen and then respond. Don't natter. This moaning, groaning. I need this. I don't need that. I want this. I want that. No, why don't we listen first? Prayer is more a response than anything else. Both Paul and Jude mention this praying in the Spirit in the New Testament. Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers anywhere, everywhere. Everywhere. Persistent. Stay alert. Be persistent. Jude verse 20, because there's only one chapter. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fundamental aspect of wisdom is this persistent prayer. God, give me wisdom. God, give me wisdom in that. God, give me wisdom in that. Wisdom and understanding. Number four, God gives us ears. Hey, come on, you people here that have got children. How often have you said to your kids, what is that on the side of your head? When they're not listening nicely. What are those things? Are they ornaments? Hey, did you have words like that? I used to. In fact, not for a long time. When I was young, my mom used to say to me, what is that on the side of your head? Now, I knew not to say sideburns, because you know what I mean. No, the ornaments, you're not listening. Scripture makes no bones about how vital our ears are to gaining God's wisdom. Proverbs 1 verse 5. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Proverbs, a book of wisdom. Proverbs 2:2. I love this. Tune your ears to wisdom. Hey, imagine two little tuning knobs on the side. Tune it to wisdom. Tune your ears to wisdom. Come, tune them up. This implies our ears cannot be tuned to wisdom. When it says they tune your ears to wisdom, it can mean that they're not tuned. That's what it means. In the second verse of Proverbs, Proverbs 1, second verse, Solomon tells us why the Proverbs are there. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. How's that? And so in reading through Proverbs, you'll be surprised to learn ear, listening, and hearing are mentioned 45 times. That's quite important. Someone once said to me, God only needs to tell you once. No, you're right. But 45 times means pressing the point. And this week in Luke 8, verse 8, Jesus says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Jesus said, you got ears, you must listen. Listen. Listening doesn't come easy to us. It doesn't. Those of you with the gift of listening, guard it. I'm getting better at listening. But my grandkids actually have been a great lesson in this whole listening thing. Because they'll suddenly arrive at my door. Just arrive. I'll be doing something. There's one of the grandkids. Grandpa, then what I used to do is say, what, you're hungry? You need a pen? You sticky tape? Do you need tea? Do you need a rusk? I'd go on, and all they'd do is just keep saying, no, 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 no. I wasn't giving them a chance to ask me what they came there for. I would want to finish the sentence. Have you all been there? Especially the children, because they lose track of why they're there. They arrive, Grandpa. Then I'll start saying, what do they want? No, 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 no. I've come to learn, just be patient. Let them get their thoughts, and they will ask you what they need. More often than not, Grandpa, wait. Yeah, I need to use the toilet.
I'm like, but your house is like 5 meters away. Yeah, I have to go now. All right, go. Why? Because you know why? They're playing there, then suddenly, oh, I need to go. And they run to grandpa's house. Just let them finish their sentence. Jessica is the best. For some reason, I don't know how, but she goes into my study. Listen, my study's small. You swing a cat, it's going to get hurt. It's tiny. But she loves going into my study to look at my stuff. Because she likes, oh, grandpa's got a new pen. Then she'll come there. Grandpa, you've got a new pen. I need it. For what? I just need it. In my study, pen gone. Next day, I'm back at Walton's getting some new pens.
James 1:19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and let your grandkids use the toilet. Now, it doesn't say that last bit in James, but you get the meaning. He would have said it if his grandkids lived next door. He would have actually included it in there. But here's my fifth point this morning, and it's linked to listening.
And one we don't often want to hear.
Number 5, God asks questions to develop our wisdom.
Questions expose our heart. Listen, when God asks you a question, He knows the answer. But He wants to make sure that you know the answer when He asks the question.
Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I had some questions. What happened to all my questions? You know that I had tons of questions here that God asked. Oh, here they are.
I flicked the page twice. I was wondering because I said I had some really cool questions that God asked some people in the Bible. Paul, on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That's a great question. God knew the answer. He needed Paul to know the answer.
Adam, in Garden of Eden.
Adam, where are you? It's not like God didn't know where he was. He wanted to know, Adam, why are you hiding away? Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Remember, Cain killed him. Where's Abel, your brother?
Jacob,
what is your name? God asked him, what's your name? Remember, God gave him the name Israel.
Moses,
what's that in your hand? Remember Moses' staff. Throws it down, comes a snake, picks it up, another staff. Remember, that could scare anyone.
Scare the living daylights out of you. What about to a hiding prophet?
What are you doing here, Elijah? Remember, Elijah was hiding in a cave. Because Queen Jezebel said, I'm going to sort you out. He went and hid. God says, hey, Elijah, what are you doing here? It's not like God didn't know. He wanted Elijah to know. Why. What are you doing here? I want him to question him. Questions from God helps us in our wisdom. Jesus was asked many questions. You can't help but read the Gospels, and people are trying to trap him with questions.
But I actually looked this up.
Jesus was asked 180 questions in the Gospel.
But Jesus asked, in the same gospel,
300 questions. He asked more questions of people than was asked of him. And so questions do. Questions come and expose our heart.
Number 6.
This is the most important one.
Number 6. I left it for last because it's the best one. God gives us His Son.
Wisdom is personified in Christ.
Paul tells us, Colossians 2 verse 3.
In Him, in Jesus.
In Him lie all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
That's why the title of my sermon was that you and I can have the wisdom of Jesus. When we come to faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell with us, we can have the same wisdom that Jesus had.
You might recall in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are preaching and then they arrest them and then the religious leaders
actually said, we consider these guys courageous because they're uneducated and untrained, yet their wisdom came from spending time with Jesus. The religious leaders realized these fishermen, these rough and tough guys from the bluff, they actually wise. Their wisdom came from spending time with Jesus. Our wisdom comes from spending time with Jesus.
If you seek true wisdom, if you seek true wisdom, can I encourage you this morning? Seek Christ. Seek wisdom, seek Christ.
Jesus, in fact, says that all other wisdom apart from him is foolishness.
I can't express it more clearly. I really can't. That when we spend time in God's Word and pray, spend time with the Lord daily, we see life from a different perspective. We see it from God's perspective. We see God's hand at work, and then we come alongside it. We wait for the Lord far more easily. And we step out in faith because we're sure-footed. When we realize, hey, I'm next to the Lord, I'm in step with God, it makes our faith sure-footed.
That's wisdom. That's wisdom in living for Christ. And so maybe here this morning, and you realize, I'm not living in step with God. I'm not living life from God's perspective. I need to do that. Well, I want to encourage you this morning. It says in the scripture, you can ask for wisdom and God gives it abundantly. The trick is to ask. Yo, I'm good at doing stuff on my own. I really am. Something needs to get fixed. I fix it. Can do it. I've got a whole workshop full of tools. I've got a tool for everything. But you know, wisdom's different. Wisdom is different. And so I want to encourage you this morning, as you read the word, ask God for wisdom. Say, Lord, I need your wisdom. Wisdom comes from surrender, not from being clever. It comes from surrender. Maybe you don't even know Jesus. Maybe you say, I know of Jesus, but I don't know Jesus. I want to say this morning, you can surrender your life to him. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Do you know what forgiveness is? The forgiveness we ask is, I want to ask for forgiveness for living my life my way. I want to live my life your way. And now you think, I can't do all those things I used to do, but they weren't good for you. Oops. I nearly said another word. Hey, it just like came out. Now, man, can't be a muhu now. Let's live our lives the way, Christ's way. I nearly said another word. I get passionate about this. When I see people living their life and it's going all wonky, I say, hey, wake up. Wake up. Live your life. Surrender to Christ. It's going to be much better for you. The things you think you're going to miss out on, you won't miss them after a while. You realize those things are stupid things. A life lived for Christ is a life well lived. So you say, Lord, forgive me for living life my way. I want to live your way. So you say, Lord, my life's yours. God's Spirit will come dwell with you. Give me wisdom to live life from your perspective. And so if that's you this morning, please come talk to me afterwards. I'd love to help you on this faith journey. But if you are a believer and you realize, hey, I haven't lived with God's wisdom, been living in my own wisdom, I'm going to pray for us now. More than ever, I see in the world around us, we need to live with godly wisdom. Amen? Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. Forgive us for those times we've made decisions our way, not your way. Would you help us with that, Lord? Hey, Lord, at times we can think we're so good, we're so clever, we make decisions. But Lord, I want to make decisions from a perspective of what is your way? What is your will for my life? Because that is a life well lived. That is a life that reveals the love of Christ to the world around us. That is the life that has an impact on other people and on my family and on my friends and where I work. Father, your word says, ask for wisdom and you give it in abundance. We ask for that this morning. We ask for abundant wisdom, Lord. As parents, we ask for abundant wisdom in parenting our children. As employees or employers, we ask for wisdom, Lord. And Father, we pray that the world around us would come to know you because of our wisdom. Help us to be at peace. Help us to have joy
understanding, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.